Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. What a wonderful time to be in the house of Yahweh. Anybody just glad about your salvation? You're just thankful that... So we've been talking about a few things. The Holy Spirit is really just amazing. He knows what we need when we need it. Even when we don't know, He knows. And so He's just been leading us and guiding us in a way to really commit ourselves. We've been talking for the last few weeks about the greater work. He said that we would do the works that He did and greater works. And what a beautiful time to be talking about this, because in 2 weeks, now you know, here at Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, we're a church for truth seekers. So we study, because the word of Yahweh says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, it's not good enough just to come to church and you don't know nothing. Or you come to church just because it's a ritual or it's tradition. You're supposed to go to church on Sunday or whatever. This is real stuff that gives you direction for your life. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to waste time just doing something just to be doing it. I want to learn something. I want to go deep. You know, I want to learn everything that I can, because it's not about religion. It's not about a tradition. It's not about denomination. It's about relationship. And He wants to have a relationship with us. That's why He gave His Son on the cross for you and me, so that we could be reconciled back, so that we would have a relationship. Come on. So, I mean, what kind of relationship is it when there's just one person doing all of the stuff? Anybody been in a relationship like that? You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just saying. A one-sided relationship where, you know, it's just you doing something or the other person doing something. Yahweh wants an exchange with you. He wants communion. He wants koinonia. He wants to be able to walk with you and talk with you. He wants to be able to ride shotgun. Now, matter of fact, you need to ride shotgun. Let Him do the driving. But that's what kind of relationship that our Father wants. Even the song that the worship team was saying, He's a good, good Father. See, other religions, God is a warring God. He's impersonal. He's somebody that's just rigid. That's not the God we serve. He's a good, good. I love the way you said that. He said a good, good God. Tell your neighbor, He's a good, good God. That's what He is. He's personal. He knows what you need. He wants relationship. And so that's what we're talking about. So when we talk about the name, and I say this a lot and I cannot say it enough. That's why we go study the Hebrew, because the original Old Testament text was written in the Hebrew. New Testament was written in the Greek. So we have to study those words. It gives you some depth. When you read the Bible and you have a knowledge of the Hebrew and the Greek, it's HD TV. It is. I mean, some of y'all have had television sets, just regular television sets, but now you got the what? High definition. Everything is what? Pops out at you, right? Who got HD? You all do. Don't trip. You all got them big widescreen televisions giving you what? Clarity. And that's what it is when you know the Hebrew. And so that's why we use the name Yeshua. That's the name that he was given. It's the name above all names. It means he will save, he will deliver, he will rescue. So when we study the Hebrew, we also need to have an understanding of significance of the things that they did in the Old Testament were types and shadows so that you could understand the New Testament, what was to come, right? And so I'm excited because in 2 weeks on the Hebrew Jewish calendar, we will be celebrating the Hebrew New Year. In 2 weeks. Wait, come on. You got to get excited about that. This is it's a new year. It's a new cycle. It's a new opportunity, right? When we're on what we call the Gregorian calendar, that's what we're under right now. That's what the United States uses, the Gregorian calendar. But in Hebrew, there is a Jewish calendar. And on the Jewish calendar, these are the feast or the observances. And so I'm excited because what we've been talking about, getting ourselves together, being able to do the greater works, finding out who we are, this is a perfect time to do that. And I'm going to tell you why. Let's go. But first of all, this is a belief system that is about remembering. Say remembering. See, a lot of times we don't want to remember stuff or we don't want to be reminded. What is your response when somebody says, hey, I just want to remind you. I got it. No, you ain't got to remind me about nothing. I got this. But no, you have forgot, but you just fronting like you knew, but you didn't know. And so I don't understand what is our thing about not wanting to be reminded. I think pride is a piece of that. I mean, you know, you think you got it so much that you don't need nobody to remind you. But this is a belief system that's based upon reminding. We always got to be what? Reminded. So let's go here. 2 Peter. Kepha is the Hebrew name for Peter. So we're going to go to 2 Peter, 2 Kepha. Hey, and if you are a Hebrew scholar, it's what? When you're talking about 2 Kepha, it's what? Bet. Kepha, bet Kepha. All right? So 2 Peter, the first chapter. All right? I love what he is saying here because it is so germane to what we're going to be talking about. So for the next couple of weeks, we're not going to be on the greater works, but we're going to be about new move, the Hebrew New Year, and the significance of it, you understanding what it means to you, and you getting that understanding, being able to move forward in the things of Yahweh that he has called you to. And in this process, you must be reminded. So in the time I got, let me see what we can do in this. So to go to the 12th verse. If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, so it says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. He's saying, I'm not going to not be on my job and not remind you, but I'm going to be on point and I'm going to tell you the stuff that you need to be reminded about. If I didn't do it, I would not be doing my job. That's what he's saying. And he says, though you know them and be established in the present truth. So what is he saying? Even though you know or you think you know, I still need to what? Remind you, because when we talk about the word of Yahweh and when you dive into the deeper meanings, this superlative comes to mind. Rich. The word is rich. And it's deep. It's not shallow. There's so much that you can get to know, and there's so many things that are going to shine some light on some things that are going on in your life if you would just study. And so he says, I need to put you in remembrance of things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. 13th verse says, yea, I think it meet, means I think it's acceptable, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you. See, when we are reminded of some stuff, it has an effect on us. It stirs you up. And I think we need to be stirred. And to get you stirred, we gotta what? Remind you. Because we kind of get away from stuff sometimes. And so, 14th verse, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, our body, his body, even as our Yahushua Mashiach hath shown me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always. So I'm getting ready to go. I'm not going to be here forever. So I need to keep on what? Reminding you. And then when I go, you're going to what? You're going to keep on remembering. And guess what you're going to do? Tell your neighbor, I'm going to remind you. It keeps on going. So you get each other. We get each other stirred up when we start talking about these things. For instance, do you remember when you got saved? Do you remember the pain and misery that you were in before it? And then when you got baptized and filled with his spirit, do you remember how that, somebody tell me. Now that you think about it, don't you feel a little stirred up? Well, I don't hear your stir. That's what I'm talking about. It stirs you up when you think about these things. 16th verse. For, get this, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. See, you got to know this is real. This ain't no fake stuff. When we talk about Daniel in the lion's den, guess what? Daniel was in the lion's den. When we talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that were thrown into the fiery furnace, guess what? They were. What would happen if somebody threw you into the fiery furnace? Well, according to your faith. But these are real things that happen. When David knocked down Goliath, that's not just a story that actually happened. And listen, if you think that these are just stories and fables that are not real and have nothing to do with reality, I'm going to show you the dough. Because if you don't believe that, you ain't going to believe none of this. Does anybody believe that this happened? You got to believe this. And first and foremost, we talked about last week when Yeshua died, buried 3 days, and then got up, resurrected, never to die again. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. This is what our faith is based on. And if you don't believe this, you ain't got nothing. So we got to hold on to this. So he's saying right here, I couldn't have said it better, but we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Yahushua Mashiach. But guess what? We were what? Eyewitnesses of his majesty. We was there. We was eyewitness news. We was right there. When it was going down, we saw this. We saw his glory. And the 17th verse, you know, I'm getting stirred up already. I mean, can you imagine seeing these things? I've said this before, but Moshe going through what? The Red Sea. And if I was standing at the edge of that water and I saw that staff go and then that water raise up, you couldn't tell me nothing. I will serve him for the rest of my life. But even though they saw that, they still was tripping, right? But he's saying, listen, I was there. We saw this. He says, for our what? For he received from Yahweh the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard. They heard the what? The voice of Yahweh. When we were with him in the what? Holy Mount. And it says, we have also love this, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take. It would be good for you that you listen to what we're talking about. It'd be best for you that you believe this, as unto the light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. Has the day star arose in your heart? No, I'm asking you a question. Has he risen in your heart and you have accepted him and he has just transformed you from the process to that day, right? So we always got to remind y'all about stuff. So go to 2 Kefa, the third chapter. And this is not the only time that he said that we need to be reminded. And I have to go through this just to let you know how important it is, because what we're going to talk about these feasts, these observances, has everything to do with your salvation. 2 Peter, the third chapter, the first verse. Got it? Okay, it says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure mind. So here we go again. We still need to be reminded so that we can get what? So, you know, a lot of times we allow things to get mundane. Oh, I gotta go. What time is it? Oh, Lord. It's 8 o'clock. I got to drive down to Long Beach. Make it to 11 o'clock. So I don't know if I'm going to be on time. Well, what kind of attitude is that? It's 8 o'clock. You got 3 hours. Oh, three. To get what? But first of all, had it not been for his goodness, you wouldn't even be waking up. And so, well, you should be here for 9:30 Sunday school. That's what you should. Matter of fact, you should be here for 8 o'clock prayer. But we're not excited. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of Yahweh. So we find ourselves not being excited. And you know what? We got to get excited. We got to get stirred up. And he says, this second epistle I wrote to you, unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, too, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of Yahweh. So go here. I want to take you to what we're about to talk about. I have a diagram of the feast. You guys got it up there? This is where we are. So, this is the Hebrew calendar. On the outside are the months. Do you see that? We have fall feasts, and we have spring feasts. And the spring feast, the last observance, is Shavuot or Pentecost, right? And this is in the cycle, so these things have to happen because he could not send the Holy Ghost until he was what? Resurrected. And he could not be resurrected unless he what? Died and was buried, right? He could not be died and buried until he was what? Crucified, the Lamb. And so things have to happen in order. And so what you see on the outside, these are the months. And so right now, we are, do you see where it says September and August on the Gregorian calendar is on the inside and the Hebrew calendar is on the outside. Do you see where it says September, August? Okay, on the outside of that is the month of what? Elul. Do you see that? So that's where we are right now. We are in the last month on the Hebrew calendar of Elul. And that is like the December. That is like the end of the year, and the next month is going to be what? Tishri. You see that? And so that is what we're about to do. We're about to enter in to the what? To the new what? New year. Now what happens when y'all, get ready to enter into the Gregorian New Year. You have a big party. You go get something flashy. You get out your bedazzler. Right? Because you gonna celebrate what? And then you have the nerve to talk about New Year's resolutions. And you get excited about this stuff. But I'm about to tell you that there is a process in the Yehudim Jewish calendar that we should be getting excited that we're about to cross over into a whole brand new situation. You're about to cross over. And you don't have to wait till December 31st. New Year's Eve. Guess what? We in New Year's Eve right now. And so this is what we're talking about. And so we are in, right there at Elul, about to cross over, what is called the Feasts of Trumpets. Say, the Feast of Trumpets. Now, the beautiful thing about this is that that is not necessarily, that is the name that it is called, but the Hebrew name for it is the Feast of Yom Teruah. Say, Yom Teruah. Now, the beautiful thing about Yom Teruah, which you may have known as Rosh Hashanah. Have you heard about Rosh Hashanah? That is the new year. Well, the biblical terminology for it is Yom Teruah. And I'm about to tell you that the significance of that. So turn to Leviticus. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, what is that? Vayikra. Do you see that? I love this. And so this is what we're about to celebrate. So the 23rd verse of the first chapter of Leviticus. And it says what? And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the feasts of Yahweh, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. When he talks about feasts, get this, he's not talking about food. You guys have already thinking, okay, what we gonna eat? No. When he's talking about feasts, he's talking about, feast means divine appointment. Come on. It's the Moadim. And the Mo'adim means the appointed times, divine appointment. There are appointed times when Yahweh moves. There are appointed times when he reveals and does things. There's appointed times where he's got to remind us of the power that he possesses to be able to move on our behalf. And we have to be able to meet him. Oh, you're ready. At these, what? Appointed times. It's an appointment. Now, I know some of y'all are used to being late for your appointments. I've had appointments with a few of y'all. Why are we late? We blame it on traffic and all these things. But really, it's our excitement. When there's something, if you knew that President Obama was going to come to your house, I think some of y'all would be on time. Unless you're a Republican. But if you knew somebody important was going to show up, you would what? You'd be waiting. These are the appointed. Yahweh himself has created appointed times. And he wants you to what? Recognize them. Be on time. So say the feasts are the Moadim. And the Moadim are the appointed times. Doesn't that even sound beautiful? See, it's not a regular appointment. It's a what? Divine appointment. And so it says, And he would always remind them of these appointed times by these observances. And so it says, concerning the Moedim, or concerning the appointments of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be what? Holy convocations. Well, guess what holy convocations are? What? Dress rehearsals. We're going to keep on practicing this. We're going to keep on observing this. And then there's going to be one day when we're going to be gone. We're going to be caught up. And he's preparing your mind to be, you got to remember these are appointed times, the significance of these what? Appointed times. And it's a holy convocation because it's a dress rehearsal. We're going to gather together and we're going to observe this because one day we're going to do this. We ain't going to do this here. We're going to be up there. Does anybody want to do that? Yeah, I don't want to miss that divine appointment. So it says, and he says, even these are my what? Moedim. He said, these are my appointments. See, some of y'all are so caught up in what you got to do. You caught up in your program. You caught up in your agenda that you won't even meet him at the divine times. He's like, hey, once you meet me for prayer at 7 o'clock, united prayer. Hey, meet me at Bible study. Y'all stand him up. Because he's trying to reveal. Well, I can come on Sunday. That's good enough. Well, is one meal a day good enough for you? Some of y'all have not missed 4 meals. Right? What is these are the point, these are things that we live by. Our spirit needs to be fed. I don't know about you, but this snack that we get on Sunday ain't good enough. We need to keep on snacking and we need to keep on eating. See, this is something good. Instead of eating all that other stuff, refined sugars and cholesterol and carbohydrates, you feast on the word. Woo! Tell your neighbor, it's all good. We talk about the word, it's all good. And these are the point of time. These are Moedim. There are certain times where he opened the window in heaven and poured out blessings at appointed times. And if you weren't there, you didn't what? Receive it. You had to meet him at the Moedim. And so that's what he's saying. Don't think these are just stories and these feasts. You think we're just feasting just to be feasting? You think we're getting together just to get together? This has significance. And I need you to know what the significance is. And so he says, these are his feasts. Okay, so understanding that, these are the things that must be fulfilled. So go here to Genesis right quick. I'm gonna do that. These are his feasts, his Moedim. So we're gonna go to Genesis. And I love this. Because all these things mean something. So we go to Bereshit, Genesis, the first chapter, 14th verse. Do you think that when he did creation, he was just doing creation just because, you know, he just wanted to do something? It has significance. Why the moon up in the sky? It has significance. Why the sun? It has significance. What about the axis? And it has significance. He created this. He has a pattern. You think he just helter-skelterly just threw this stuff together? He had a plan. And he had a purpose. Say Moedim. You need to know this. So Yahweh said, let there be lights, and in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for. Hold up. So you just thought he created it for you to be able to go to sleep. Some of y'all need the darkness to be able to sleep. Now, one time I had this job, I was working on a swing shift. Anybody worked swing shift before? And I had to sleep in the daytime?
How you do that? Woo! That was the worst job ever. I had to sleep in the daytime and I had to work at night. Anybody, well, you have tried to work at night, right? No, he didn't do it for that, but he did it because it has a purpose. And he says, what? Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for your soul. It has what? Significance is a cycle. And so he's talking about, listen, we need to be able to understand. So the Hebrew word for sign is oath. Say oath. And it means a signal. It means a flag. So there's a thing that happens that he's trying to signal us. He's trying to send us a sign, and he's going to use this cycle to be able to show us the sign or the flag properly, right? It's an appointment. You know that 5 or 6 something, what happens? Daybreak, right? In the morning, right? You're doing your stuff according to this schedule, but he says, I didn't do this for your schedule. He said, these are my appointed times. I did this and I created this for what I'm trying to show you. And so why would he need to give us a signal if he wasn't trying to tell us something? So he says, let them be for signs. And the enemy does not want us to understand the signs. Because if we don't understand the signs, we will not show up at the appointed times. So we need to understand the signs. When I was an usher, anybody use an usher? We had signs. See, I don't know what y'all are doing nowadays, but I mean, I love you, but I don't know what y'all are doing. Because we had signs. We had ways of showing other ushers who understood, right? And so we had, this meant, with the finger right here, it meant I need relief. I need somebody to come relieve me because I got, and the way I remembered it, it was like, number one, I got to go. That's how I remember it. It was a sign. And so with the usher, because without signs, you'd be like, hey, yo, I need some fans. Can you bring me some fans over here? That's not going to work. I'm yelling. Sometimes I have to do that to some of y'all. Can we get some fans? Can we get a mic? No. There were signs, so we weren't like hollering. We weren't out of order. It would be like this. If we want a relief, we want somebody to come, bam. I still remember my signs. I can't believe it. This means that we need some programs. Bulletins. 2, we need bulletins. Can you bring some bulletins over here? And it was like, we need bulletins. We need 5. Bulletins? 5. Bulletins, and we need a whole load of bulletins. It'd be bulletins. 3, what 3 mean? 3 meant, oh, we need envelopes. And the way I remember that, I need money. 3, envelopes. We understood the signs. And then 4 meant we need some fans. And the way I remember that was like this, fans. And this way, the usher would be like, hey, I know exactly what you need. And we wore white gloves so that you could see number 1 from number 2, from number 3, from number 4. And then one sign that I never got to use was distress. This means distress. It means like something's going on. We got something going on. But we never had no emergency. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank him for that. But we needed to know what? The signs. So when he's talking to us, he's talking to us by his word. He's talking to us by his spirit. But he also wants us to recognize the signs, the signals. He told us that certain things would be happening in the earth. And when you saw these things, you would know that it's the what? Appointed time. know that the end is drawing near. And he was, you were going to see this. You're going to see this. You're going to see this. The problem with us is that we're so caught up in our own stuff that we cannot recognize his signs. We cannot recognize when he's moving. We cannot recognize when he's speaking to us in things that are taking place. So he's saying, listen, that's why I gotta keep on reminding y'all. And you know what? I'm thankful that we're in a ministry that we understand the word enough to be able to point out the signs and the signals. Hallelujah. So that's what he was saying. He said, let them be for lights. Firmament of the heaven, and they give light to the earth. And so when we go here, we talk about signs. Seasons. You think it's just summer, spring, winter, fall. That's your understanding. That is more deeper than that. Seasons actually comes from the Hebrew word moed. Say moed. And this means for his divine appointments, his times, where he's going to move. That's when he's moving, right? His season, his divine appointments. He's giving you appointed times, and then there's times where it's him doing something extraordinary. And he's saying, I need you to understand that. So I need to understand it for signs, for the seasons. And when we go here, let's go back to Leviticus. I love this. Go back to Leviticus, 23rd chapter, first verse. And there's a word we left out. The second verse saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them concerning the Moedim, the feast of Yahweh, which ye shall what? Proclaim. Say proclaim. Well, the beautiful thing about proclaim is from the Hebrew word karal. Say karal. And guess what it means? It means the idea of accosting someone. What is accosting? Stand up, minister. Hey, I gotta tell you something. That's what proclaim is. Hey, get up again. Dude, I gotta tell you something. Why are you doing it? Meaning like, listen, Quincy, I gotta tell you something. It's deeper than just hollering. It's saying, listen, I'm accosting you, I'm calling you out, and I'm addressing you by name. And I'm about to tell you something real important. That's what Yahweh's trying to do. Some of y'all, he's actually trying to sneak you. Hey, I'm over here. I'm trying to do this. And where are you at? He over here, and you, and he's like, hey, I'm over here. You can't even hear him. Why? Because you too busy doing your stuff. How many of y'all are so busy that you don't even acknowledge him that day? You wouldn't even be able to have the day had it not been for him, and you will not even acknowledge him for even giving you the day. And there's going to come a time where he's coming back. And you're not going to recognize the sign. You're not going to hear the signal because you're so caught up in your stuff, and by the time he's gone, you like, what happened? Come back. Tell your neighbor, too late. Listen, there are signs in the world right now. He said there were going to be wars and rumors of wars. Talking about earthquakes in diverse places. There has never, ever been a time like this where these things, diverse places means different places. Now we look, California, we expect an earthquake.
I mean, that's just what happens here. But guess what's happening now? There's earthquakes in places that ain't never seen earthquakes before. There's just new faults developing that have never, ever existed before. He said that in the word, that there was going to be a time when those things were going to what? But if you're not recognizing, do you guys understand how crazy this world is today? Look at the news. Look at this presidential election. I have never seen such foolery in all of my life. I have never seen such an undignified. Usually the elections would have a little dignity. But it's like the new normal is crazy. Here we're trying to figure, it's a crazy day, and now crazy is normal. And then we're trying to figure, okay, well, this is crazy. And then when we think it can't get any more crazier, guess what? It gets crazier. That's what's happening in the world today. And so he's trying to get our attention. And so let's go to Leviticus 23rd chapter. And I'm just opening this up and setting the foundation. Next week, we're going to be all up in it. 23rd verse of the 23rd chapter. If you got it, say, I got it. So in the Old Testament, this is what we're trying to find out. What is the significance of this feast, this Moedim that we're about to go into for the new year? This called the Feast of Rosh Hashanah. Leviticus 23. And Yahweh spake unto Moshe, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, and this is going to be the seventh month on the religious calendar, first month on the civil calendar, and that's why they were on the religious calendar at the time. This is the first month on their civil calendar. In the first day of the month shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. So what is a memorial? A memorial is something that you do to mark. Remember, when you go to a trip, you have a what? A memento, right? Well, a memento is there for you to what? Remember that you what? You were there. And so he's saying, this is what you're going to do. And so this is what he's saying. There's going to be a blowing of trumpets. It's not a trumpet. It's what the Hebrew call a shofar. Say shofar. Shofar is a ram's horn that is curled up, and they blow it, and they would blow it at the appointed times. And so this feast of trumpets, go here. Go to, we're going to take it one more time. Take you to Numbers 29:1. Hallelujah. You're going to blow the shofar, and the shofar is going to be the start of you being able to start to ask Yahweh to get you together. You have to do self-examination. This trumpet opens up the time that his grace and his mercy are activated in a special way. And so what you have to do is you have to be able to acknowledge where you're falling short. And that is a problem with us. We fail self-examination. When we are asked to examine ourselves, we're like, I'm cool. I'm good. But guess what? You can point out all the faults in everybody else, but you can't point out what's going on with you. And it's a point in time, this new year, Yom Teruah is supposed to saying, hey, I need you to start examining yourself. I need you to start saying, you know what? This is what's wrong with me. This is what's wrong with me. This is
what's wrong with me? So it says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. It is a day, yom, say yom, day of blowing teruah. So it's Rosh Hashanah means yom teruah, means it is the day of blowing. A day of him creating that sound, a move of God, and telling us that we got to start getting ourselves ready. Ask yourself, am I ready? This special time is about Yahweh's grace. Who needs grace? It's about his mercy. Who needs mercy? Another day I was going through this, and he's saying, the sound reminds, Yahweh doesn't need to be reminded. He knows everything. But he reminds us to keep us in mind of him. And when we are remembered about him and his ways, it's like, Yahweh, when this day that we're getting ready to enter in, this day of getting ourselves together, of repenting and getting our life right, when that trumpet sounds, we're reminded of the grace and mercy that he has. And when we acknowledge his grace and his mercy on us, we're saying, mercy. I'm reminding you, Yahweh, that you operate in mercy. I'm reminding you, Yahweh, that you operate in grace. It's an exchange that takes place. Listen, Yahweh don't need to be reminded, but you need to be reminded that the only reason that you're able to stand here and breathe is because of his grace and because of his mercy. Only reason. So when you acknowledge the things that are going on in your life, you be thankful that you're not receiving justice. Guess what justice is? Justice is what when you get what you deserve. Think about what you deserve. Think about how scandalous you've been. Think about how ratchet. Some of the stuff that you've done. And if there was a court held about you and some of the stuff that you did, you'd be convicted. Is that your sentence that you would get? But because of his what? Guess what mercy is? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Guess what grace is? When you get what you don't deserve. This is the time. This is the Mo'adim where we meet him and say, this is what is going on with me. And when you blow that trumpet, Yahweh, I'm reminding you that I am in need of your mercy. I am in need of your grace, and I thank you for not putting justice on me. But if you don't acknowledge this at the Mo'adim, then you're not going to be a recipient of his grace and his mercy, and you're going to get justice. We can only go around so much ignoring him. You can only get so far by not acknowledging him. And the beauty of it is that we're not taking advantage of his grace and mercy. We're saying, listen, I did this. I'm not this. I'm guilty of this. But Father, I'm falling on my knees right now and I'm asking you. And when you do that, it's like you saying, mercy. Mercy. I remember Mother Jamerson, she'd always say, she'd come in here and she'd say, mercy. Like another day, right, Mother?
Another day, you say, mercy. Shall I say? That's what you say. She says, shall I say what? Mercy. I have the ability to say, shall I? If I can't say nothing else, mercy. Saints, this is the Moedim. These are the appointed times. And when we go to Yom Kippur, that's the Day of Atonement. So we got to get the stuff together before the Yom Kippur comes. 10 days. So what have we been doing? Listen, it's not like we are putting on the, they say the half a baseball cap. It's not like we're putting on the yarmulke and we're doing the things just to be doing them, but we want to know the meaning of why they did what they what? Did. And it has significance. So now that we can come into prayer and we can say, Father, forgive me. Bow your head. Father Yahweh, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for caring enough about us to remind us of the appointed times. The reason why you even sent your son Yeshua to die for our sins. And all you're asking is that we acknowledge the sacrifice and receive him. So we thank you for even reconciling us back to you. And we're asking, set us in remembrance of what you've done. Remembrance of who you are. Remembrance of what you do for us. Remembrance of, there are so many situations that we could have found ourselves in, but by your grace and your mercy, you saved us. You delivered us. You rescued us. So we want to be able to hear your sound, to be able to recognize your signs when you call us to remembrance. So we thank you for even the observance of Yom Teruah, that we can begin to examine ourselves and get it right for you, that we can be those saints that you're looking for in these last days. So we thank you. We praise you. We honor you. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. Keep your head bowed. I do want to make this call. I would.